What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Forever Dog.
I realize I've been watching these movies since I was in high school, and I'm probably going to be watching them until I'm in my 40s. This shit is wild.
I think actually the first one came out, I don't think I was even in high school yet.
All right, we get it. You young. All right, nigga. Anybody ask all that? Anybody ask all that? You know what I'm saying? All right. I don't think I was in high school yet. Well, I was. Okay.
The other thing I remember is that I feel like one of the first times AMC used to do those like AMC previews, like where they used to like have those, the not like a trailer, but like it would be like a trailer spliced with like the actors talking about the movie. You know what I mean? Oh, AMC First Look, that's what they called it. Like the first one I feel like I ever saw was for Tokyo Drift. And I just remember going like, man, they should just stop making these movies.
It's so funny. I have a very controversial take. Like, Tokyo Drift may be in my top three Fast and Furious.
Okay, so then why are you mad at this list?
Honestly, I'm gonna be real. I only read the worst ones, and the worst one, I don't care what nobody says, is Too Fast, Too Furious. It is hot garbage.
Without Too Fast, Too Furious, we don't have Tyrese.
Or Ludacris.
I need Tyrese in a movie. I need you to put Tyrese. He needs to be in every movie.
If they would have brought in Bow Wow earlier, if they would have brought in the Asian actor who's now on Warrior, if they would have brought him in earlier, I don't need Tyrese and Ludacris in these movies.
What are you talking about?
I mean, they're fine. The thing is, they're fine, and there's no diss to them, but we're used to them now. I'm pretty sure if we would have had like these other cats in there earlier who were literally hilarious, we'd be like, oh yeah, they're cool. Like, we just have known them for like eight movies now. It's not that like they were the best additions to the franchise.
Listen, anytime I get a chance to say this out loud on the podcast, I'm gonna say it. Transformers 3 is only bad because Tyrese doesn't show up until the last 35 minutes of the movie. If they would have put him in the movie earlier.
He has my favorite scene in the first Transformers movie when they're shooting at the thing, and he's like, goodbye. I forgot what it is. He just tells him to get something. He's like, get there. And they're like, where is it? He goes, left cheek, left cheek, left cheek.
Yeah, man. You know, to each his own. To each his own. I love that y'all love him. Again, I love the movies, so I'm not going to hate on him.
I still have never seen Tokyo Drift, and I haven't seen Fast and the Furious.
If I had to say the list of importance, Fast Five for sure is the best one.
Yeah.
The one that's the most important to me, that's like I'll put number two out of importance, is Fast and Furious, because Fast and Furious is when everybody came
back.
We're
not talking about importance, we're talking about the best one.
We live in a world now where being the best don't matter. Relevant? Fast and the Furious makes it relevant.
All right, well, I've only seen eight Hobbs and Shaw and nine. And to me, eight is the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I've seen every one of these movies in theater.
Wow, they have the original as third. And they have, Furious 7 as four. That makes sense.
I waited in an hour line to see Fast and Furious when Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez came back. I waited in the valley in LA for an hour to get those tickets because I was hype.
Wait, is that the first one that Vin Diesel comes back to?
Yeah, so it's technically the fourth movie, but it's the one that, like, it is the fourth movie, but it's technically a sequel to the first movie.
Oh, okay. I thought that was, for some reason, I put that later in my head, and I was like, he missed, like, three movies? Like, okay.
He missed two. No. He missed two, but technically he didn't because, spoiler alert, he appears at the end of Tokyo. So that's how that gets connected.
That's not a spoiler. So,
spoiler.
Yeah. I was saying this the other day. I am a little upset that they, like, they stopped. Oh, is this movie officially called F9 The Fast Saga?
Bro, they stopped naming these movies.
That's what I'm saying. They stopped naming these movies. That's the thing that I'm upset about, because it was The Fast and the Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious, Fast and the Furious, : Tokyo Drift, and then Fast and the Furious. They just dropped the, and that's how they got the fourth
movie. They
dropped
the first the?
They dropped the of both Fast and Furious, and it's just called
Fast and Furious.
Then they went to Fast Five.
And then Fast the 5. And I was like, I'm with all these titles. But then Fast 6, they were like, oh, let's just call it F6. And I was like, all right, that's...
And then I think it was, is it Fast 7 or Furious 7? I think it's Furious 7.
Oh, no, actually, no, sorry. Okay, apparently they call it, apparently the official title is Fast and Furious 6. Drop the again.
What? That doesn't even make sense. Fast and Furious 6? Isn't this Fast and Furious 2? Right?
Listen, don't do this, y'all. Why y'all doing
Fast
this?
And Furious.
Go along for the ride, baby. This franchise has been out for 20 years almost.
And then they did the same thing with 7. True. It was like Fast and Furious 7, F7. But then the Fate of the Furious, I was like, there you go, bringing it back. 8, Fate, Fate of the Furious. Oh, is it just Furious 7?
Furious 7.
Yeah, Furious 7. I thought that was cool. Fast 6, Furious 7.
But it's not Fast 6. It's Fast and Furious.
Fast 5. Fast 5. Furious 7.
Oh, see, no, look. IMDb said the original title was Fast and Furious 7.
Oh.
And people just
It to... Yeah, exactly. See, they did. They stopped... For a second, they stopped really caring. And this one is called... No, this one is called F9 The Fast Saga. What? Its original title was F9, and then they call it F9 The Fast Saga.
Because this isn't a franchise, all right? Franchises are what those poo-poo movie people do, okay? Mm-hmm. Where they, like, give you three movies, then they reboot it. No, bruh. Fast and Furious is like, it's going to be 20-plus years with the same actors, the same people. And you know what we're going to do? He's going to add more people to it. We're going to diversify it. We're going to add more explosions, more insanity. This may be the most diverse franchise in the history of Hollywood.
Yeah, it does feel pretty significant that they're choosing to do it this way.
Also, all right. Oh, of course, Vin Diesel gonna do a musical. I did something that I've never done before for this, and this is for Braylock. All right, yeah. I went on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay, this is how I was bored, but whatever. I was on a train. Went on Rotten Tomatoes. I looked up all the Fast movies tomato meters, right? And I looked up the tomato meters for, like, I love Terminator, so I'm not dissing Terminator. I looked up the tomato meters for, like, the Terminator franchises, for the Star Wars movie franchises.
Why did you look up the Terminator ones?
I looked up all those. Because I wanted to see, like, franchise-wise, I looked up the Alien ones. Was it Terminator? Aliens? I looked up the Jurassic Park ones.
So you looked up all the movies for the Aliens? Fast Saga.
Oh, you should.
Yeah, so I looked up all of them, and I was like, who has the better average of, like, what would you call it? Is it positive? What is it? What is the good tomato score? Whatever the good is.
Fresh.
I think
fresh.
The best tomato score meter is F9.
But what I'm saying, is it called... You know how the point I was making.
But what's great about that is it actually probably works in terms of, it must trend upward with the...
But he's
also saying that the meter is called...
Yeah. it's a weird rating. Like it's one. Like, it goes from 1 to 100 and then F9 is the...
I had a point, man. I had a point about the franchises and which one had the better average of fresh movies.
Did they average together to F9? Let's start the show! Jonathan Raylock.
James the Third.
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I guess we're going to have to go Fast and Furious for the ninth time.
Who is that?
What? That's not a
line. It's Vin Diesel. That line that Vin Diesel has when he says, he says we're going to have to go Fast and Furious for the ninth time.
He did not say that. Did he say that for real?
Y'all remember that line?
I do not
have to go fast.
James, did you watch the movie?
I know. I don't remember that line.
Y'all, I couldn't think of any lines in this movie. What one line was I going to say from Fast, from F9?
It's all about family.
He doesn't even say it's all about family. Yeah.
They say family so much.
He just says some other. That's the same. What you just said is the same as what I just said. With the line that wasn't in the movie, but probably could have been in the movie.
I got a line. You could have said, man, nobody's going to believe us.
True. Oh, yeah, that was true.
That was good.
That one was good.
They had homeboys in outer space.
How come they look like minions?
From the hood to outer space.
That was a line,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's right. How could they look like minions?
Yo, there was a joke. Was it during Fast 7? I think everyone talks about it now, but it's like during the press tour. And somebody's like, yeah, man, what you about to go to space? And then Vin Diesel doesn't say anything. And now I'm looking at Fast 9, and I'm like, we sent these niggas to space.
Of course. That's where it had to go.
But what happens now?
But for the ninth one? Ninth one they went to space?
It's two more.
They're doing two more.
The finale's coming up.
The finale. I love that we're holding them to their like, no. See, we planned all along that the Fast and Furious would be four sets of trilogies.
Braylock, I don't think you understand how smart the Fast franchise is, okay?
Oh, boy, don't do this. Not today.
No. Hear me out. No.
It's James, entirely too early for this.
James, the Fast and Furious franchise, the movie-wise, is the best movie franchise of all time.
What?
Best movie franchise.
I'm not going to argue that it's not the best, if not one of the best. You know what I mean? I'm not going to argue that. Like, the movie, like, of course it is. I saw this with a bunch of people who both applauded every time something crazy happened, and then when something super dumb happened, they laughed all the way through it, like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. They loved the movie.
Okay? I know.
It's the ninth one. So I'm not going to say that it's not one of the best movie franchises of all time, but are you going to call it, is it smart? Are you going to say it's a
First off, it is smart because it knows its audience. Listen, one of my favorite movie franchises is Terminator. Terminator has jumped the shark many a time. And it's like the logic don't even make sense. And it's like...
Well, the second one shouldn't even... The second Terminator shouldn't have happened.
No.
The first one's a perfect, you know, paradox. And then they were like, let's do another one. But the second one is the... Yeah,
the
I know what you're talking
about.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, the second one it shouldn't exist.
The second one's the best movie, but the first one is the... It's fine. I get it. But I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're deliberately making, you know, it's smart because they know their audience, but they are also deliberately making, like, dumb nonsense movies, right? I mean, like, right?
Yeah.
Like,
no, man, this ain't dumb nonsense. I'm learning about the importance of family. I'm learning the importance of, like, what diversity is and how we don't judge people based on their race, even though the timeline and the lineage of the Toretto's makes no sense, that all three of these people are different races.
Hey, man,
his dad was a Rolling
Stone.
They're
a mixed blood family.
You know,
that's the line you should have said, James. I knew the Toretto's had mixed blood, but I could never have guessed there was Norwegian in there.
Oh, that was a good one too. That was hilarious. I couldn't believe they just flat out were like talking about how he's clearly not related to Vin Diesel. Wow, that chin. Whew, that's pronounced. You just started talking, like, about his chin.
Also, like, the fathers looked completely different. I was just like, man, they really.
I loved it. And they kept going back in time and seeing them as younger. And, like, the Vin Diesel kid is just darker than everybody else in the family.
And then when they were kids, I was like, that's just straight up just a tiny white child and a tiny Hispanic child. Like, like these two are not related whatsoever.
But I do like that they didn't try to like de-age them. I'm happy they got like young actors to play them. Because you know in the movies, it'd be like, what was it, Iron Man 3, Robert Downey was playing 15 at one point in a flashback. Yeah. I'm like, no. Get this young dude. Listen, guys, you know what? I'm going to go first. Welcome us to the show, Bray, because I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready for this baby.
Sorry. I totally forgot what we were doing.
Everybody knows.
Yeah. This voice that you're listening to right now that you probably think, hey,
should have skipped this part.
Do you do commercials? And the answer is I do, but not voiceover. It's kind of weird. But anyway, that voice is Jonathan Braylock.
I'm not going after that. I don't want to.
Right. And the voice you're listening to right now, you're like, oh, that person's not doing commercials. That's Jarrell Milligan.
And this voice right here, this voice is James III.
It's not like he's constipated.
He'll never sound like that for this entire show. No, so I don't know why.
The whole episode. I'm
gonna be all right. Whole like episode this. Then, James.
Yeah. Your Vin Diesel voice. Great.
Mm hmm.
Is that Vin Diesel or is that Morgan Freeman?
I did think that the dude that was playing young Vin Diesel, he did a great job.
I thought so.
He did a great job of like maintaining that. I don't know how he sounds in real life, but it did seem like there was an attempt, even if he does have a deep voice, there was like an attempt to like to embody, you know, or do an impression of Vin. I thought that was great. He did a great job.
Watching this movie, I was looking at Vin Diesel. And I was like, Vin Diesel only works out his arms. I was like, this man, like, literally, I was watching Vin Diesel. My man didn't have a sleeve on until the last scene in the movie.
He proud of them arms.
Yo,
he's proud of them arms.
At one point, I was like, yo, Vin Diesel is chasing down John Cena in Tim's and jumping on rooftops in Tim's. Like, this movie don't make
sense. Was he wearing Tim's?
Movie doesn't try to make sense. And that's why I'm here for you guys. I'm going to go first.
Well, actually, it does.
This franchise, again, is the greatest franchise of all time.
Wait,
all
right?
They know who we are.
We're a film review podcast. We review the films of leading black actors.
Why set this up?
We talk about
no one's listening
to
Fast 9. No one's listening to the podcast for the
Fast 9 is the gateway drug.
Okay, but okay. And we're reviewing F9, the Fast Saga. Get it right. It's not Fast 9, it's F9.
I guess we're going to have to go F9.
And if there is a tag,
the Fast Saga.
It stars a white actor by the name of Vin Diesel.
First off, is he white? He's like Brazilian or something, right?
I don't know. We've made fun of him.
That's none of our business.
He's mixed race.
That's his business. Is nobody
else. His short film was about being mixed, you know. So that's what he is. He's mixed race. It says so in the film.
Mixed with what?
Norwegian, apparently.
That is for him to know.
And us to.
That's between him, his mama, his daddy, and God.
Yeah. Here's the thing I loved about the brothers is that Vin Diesel's brother in real life doesn't really look like him either. So that actually was kind of true to form. This also stars Michelle Rodriguez, Jordana Brewster, Tyrese Gibson, Ludacris. Is it Nathalie or is it Natalie? Is it Nathalie Emmanuel? Anyway, she was in Game of Thrones. She's very attractive. Charlize Theron, John Cena, Sung Kang, Helen Mirren, Lucas Black is in it. He's back.
Bow Wow,
aka Shade Moss, Kurt Russell is in it for a second.
I couldn't believe Bow Wow was back. I was so excited.
And I was ready.
Sawai?
We're like, they go to Tokyo, Bow Wow's back.
Dude, I've been waiting for Bow Wow to come back, man. Tokyo Drift is a really good, I'm telling you, watch it.
All right.
You'd be shocked.
This is technically the 9th movie, but 10th if you include the spin-off Hobbs and Shaw, because The Rock is no longer in these movies. We'll talk about that. And how much money did this make? Sorry, I didn't look up the box.
I think
office.
It set a record
it's
so far.
It's poised
for quarantine.
To make like 68 something.
What, what
like
record? It's a record pandemic for the pandemic?
COVID. Yeah, COVID.
Well, yeah,
pandemic. Come on now.
You know,
hey, no records COVID being set for the next 5 years.
That's true. That's true.
Okay, yeah, it made 58 million domestically, and then 292 million internationally for a combined total of 351 worldwide.
Damn.
That's pretty good. Pretty good post-pandemic. Damn. I mean, I'm sure it cost $300 million to make, but...
Yeah. I mean, when I saw it, the movie theater was sold out. It was sold out. People sitting up on top of you again. I was like, ugh. Monsters. And having to have masks on. I was like, did you get the vax? Did you get the... Anyway.
Oh, here's another line. Let's see how invincible your black ass is after this. I liked that line. That was funny.
Wait, who said that? When was that?
Ludacris.
Oh, right.
How meta is it that, like, Tyrese is like, yo, we did so much stuff. I don't have a scratch. We're superheroes. And I'm like, honestly, they don't get no, even in this movie.
I'm surprised it took them this long to say something like that.
Well, it's not, they've said stuff. They've started to go meta. I feel like two movies ago, they started to be a little more meta. But this movie for sure was like, we're going to comment on everything. We're like, everything. Like, Han's coming back. We're going to say like five times, like, yeah, but you died.
Yes.
This movie has a 60% Rotten Tomatoes. It's fresh. 84% audience score.
They all fresh, baby.
Yeah.
They
what was your point?
Basically, I was looking up, like, because I was very curious. Because I know I have a lot of friends who like crap on Fast and Furious, and I get why. And like, and I totally get why. But like, you know, as fans of like the Alien franchise and all these other franchises, I'm like, yo, they have more duds in some of these more respected franchises than Fast and the Furious got. At least if you're looking at like audience scores and like the tomato meter, it's like
absolutely true.
It's like they. Fast got like at least three, but like, listen, I love Aliens. Aliens got some duds, baby. Terminator got duds.
I think, like, it's because the Aliens franchise and like Terminator 2 and then Alien and Aliens 2 are considered great movies even outside of their genres, right? I don't think any Fast and the Furious movie is considered like a great, like, film.
Fast Five.
They're all great blockbusters. But yeah, but even Fast Five is not considered like, people don't look at Fast Five and go like, no, this is one of the best films ever made. So their expectations are completely different. Where it's like Fast and the Furious, they're like, we're going to keep doing this thing. And everyone's like, I'm in here for that exact thing. Let's do it.
See, I wish more franchises would do that, though. Like,
I agree.
I wish they were like, this is the thing I think Fast and Furious does that nobody else does, though. Truthfully, I think Marvel does it, of course. I think they know their audience and they serve that audience. It's right. Like, whatever the hell else doesn't matter. It's like the audience, like, again, I love Aliens, but Aliens started like, instead of giving me xenomorphs, we had a whole movie where they weren't there and we're getting this whole philosophy about like this alien race, but like, it's like, what are we?
Prometheus, you're talking about.
Prometheus. Like, what are we doing?
It's hard, though, too, with some of these other movies. Because some of them like have like a spectacle element, or like, or there's a time that it hit certain audience members, and then when people try to reboot them, they do know their audience, but they know a specific pocket of their audience, right? So like, there are people who are like, Jurassic Park, dinosaurs, that's it. Let's do just a shit ton of dinosaurs. That's all we want for this movie. Or like the new Ghostbusters is coming out, and it's like, kids, like discovering that the Ghostbusters are real, and like they're kind of in, you know, and it's like a lot of people look at that and they're like, what the fuck, like, this is supposed to be a comedy, like, I don't want to see any of this.
Those are reboots, right?
No. This is a Ghostbusters that's set in the timeline of like, in the 80s in New York, there were these guys, you know, and like, so it's, and it's,
oh,
Spanglers. It's like the descendants of, so it's set in this world, but like, this is a long drawn out dumb point in the middle of your thing. But like, that, like, I'm like, oh, I'm excited to see that because I was a kid when I saw Ghostbusters, and it was divorced from being a comedy to me. As a kid, it was like, this is cool. These people hunt ghosts, like,
right.
And that's what they do, you know? And so, you know, I just, that's the other side of this that I think is tough too, that like Fast, even also you would even argue that they sort of evolved with their audience, and their audience was like, yes, thank you. You know, like, we want this too, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas like some of these other movies, as they evolved, people were like, no, you went the wrong way, or you, right. You know, you didn't pick up on the thing that we liked about it.
The Fast and the Furious franchise has a couple things going for it. One, even in their off years, it's still, these movies still came out pretty close together, right? Like the first one came out, what, 2001?
2002.
Okay, so 2002. So we're at the up to the 9th or 10th movie, depending on how you count it. That's like not that long. You know what I mean? Like considering. Yeah. Whereas like for something like Alien, like the first Alien came out in like the 70s. Like, you know, yeah, like even the horror movie franchises, like those span across decades. This is like it's now spanned across 2 decades, but like they come out pretty close together. And then also Vin Diesel is in all of them except for the third one, and then even that one he's still in it because he's in the end, right?
Yeah, so he's like he's in the post credit.
You also have like a star who for all intents and purposes never became bigger than this franchise. Like he's done other movies, obviously he's been, and he's like he's Groot in the Marvel movies, and he's done the Riddick franchise as well, but like still none of those are like kind of compared to this, and he's kind of okay with that, you know, like this being his legacy. Whereas I feel like, you know, a lot of other franchises, their stars get big and then they don't really want to come back, or they're too old to come back, or whatever it is.
They still be having them old ass white dudes in movies. Them niggas be like 80 years old, still playing the part. I'm like, y'all can play the part, but I can't get Charlize or like Angelina Jolie to still be Lara Croft or like Furiosa. Yeah. Fuck out of here. Sorry. That is just
Wesley can't be Blade anymore. I mean, I want to see Mahershala as Blade, but like Wesley can't be Blade?
We got to reboot Blade? It's Blade. Wesley That's a is good a goddamn point. Martial artist.
Yeah. He's a martial. Harrison Ford gets the. Got to do Blade Runner again and
Han Solo, and he's currently filming Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he already did Indiana Jones again with the Crystal Skull. And he's back again.
Tom Cruise is still in Top Gun. These, yeah. Like, why do I gotta watch old white men play the same part? Why do I gotta watch old white men?
Yeah, and Rocky came back.
Rambo came back.
Rambo came back.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is back. I'm like, dog, I'm watching old white men do these same parts, but I can't get a person of color to do the same part or a woman to do the same part. Angelina Jolie looked just as good as now. She did when she did it back then. And it's, I'm immensely annoyed by how this works out. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Vin Diesel gets to do all of these, and he's aging and he's just getting stronger in the films.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, all right. He fighting people who's bigger than him, and I'm like, yo, first off,
we haven't done initial thoughts.
I tried to do him, Bray. We skipping it now.
Go ahead, go ahead. No. I tried.
You did try to do him.
Now,
this is very true.
No, I don't want to do it now. I don't want to go now.
I'll go. Initial thoughts. I mean, this movie was fun. I definitely saw it the best way possible with a group of people who are all down to cheer and laugh and applaud every time a character showed up or Corona showed up.
Well, Corona, nice.
And so it was an enjoyable dumb blockbuster. It was fun to see. That said, I guess I'm in the minority on this, but I miss The Rock. I wish he 100%. Was still in this. Like, and I don't know, like it was good, but it wasn't, I wasn't like, there was nothing that like blew me away. It was just kind of like another one in the series where I was like, yeah, but it wasn't one of my favorites. I think this list that you sent us has it rated 5. And I was like, I think I liked Fate more than this, but that was just me.
Yeah, I had a great time. I was in a decently attended theater. Kat went with me. she has never seen any of
Yo, Tessa went with me. She never saw one either.
I think maybe she saw Hobbs and Shaw. I think maybe I made her see that.
Oh, right.
But yeah. But she's only, that's the only other experience she has. And the only other experience I have is having seen Fate. So we were pretty much in the same boat. And I, you know, I don't know. Like, I think Fate blew me away on like such a weird, I don't know how that happened, but like I was so excited and exhilarated by that. And I remember when the trailer, and I remember being like, after that, I was like, I'm on board. I'm going to see all these movies. I'm going to go back and watch all the other ones, and I'm going to be, you know, a super fan. And then when I saw the trailer for F9, I was like, I guess it's just the same. It's that I feel like I've already seen this movie, like between Hobbs and Shaw and Fate. I felt, you know, like there wasn't much. It didn't feel like it was. It didn't even feel like it was going to feel bigger than the last movie when I watched it. It just felt like it was going to be more of the same, which is ultimately what it felt like to me. But as somebody who loves like references and stuff, like that's I really get excited by that, even if I don't quite know them. Like when Bow Wow showed up, I got excited, and when Han came back, it was like, oh, this is so cool. And they, you know, and the way everyone was reacting to him in the movie story wise was really nice. And then like I thought I was gonna fully hate that Dom had a brother, but all of that was like so hokey, and like, and I delighted in the turn at the end, you know, the turn in air quotes at the end, you know. So I don't know, I had a great time. The audience seemed to really enjoy it. But like, yeah, like Fate, I would put Fate above this too for me.
Hmm. It's funny. I think I like this more than Fate. And I think I realized it in the movie while watching it, because I realized, like, I've said it before, I've seen every one of these in theaters. I've been a fan. They're ridiculous. Watching the movie, I had mad thoughts. I was like, yo, man, I love to be in a superhero franchise, but I take being in a Fast and the Furious movie. I was like, because I was thinking, like, you know, we have Ethan Hawke, you know, Mission Impossible. I was like, what is our Bond movie? And I was like, this movie, to, like, straight up, like, this is aside of like it being good or not, this movie to me is successful because of the diversity it had before diversity was a thing. This movie can open in almost any place in the hood, in the suburbs. It can open overseas because it has the cast. I mean, they brought Han back and then added a young Asian woman to it. I was like, all the bases are almost covered in this movie and it makes sense. Whereas I'm like, I'm watching, you know, John Boyega had another interview talking about Star Wars. And I'm like, I'm looking what they tried to force him in there and like how they treated that black guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's purposeful. It feels like a ridiculous real world. But also, I realize that I think I like really dumb things. I know I always make fun of James, but I think it's me. I think I take a hand around you, Jason. It's me.
Well, no, see, we all love dumb things. That's the thing. Is everybody loves dumb things, but people don't like to admit that they love
I will admit
dumb
it right
things.
Now. I'm not a John Cena fan, and I didn't like him most of the movie, but when he's like, when he comes back, spoiler alert, it is like, I got it, Dom. I was like, we knew it was going to happen. We knew it.
I got excited too. Because there was something cool about the way
he just sped in. Listen, Bray, I'm embarrassed. I was hyped. Literally, people in the theater were yelling, I was one of them. But he came back. They doing it. They both mugged at each other. Vin Diesel does not smile. Like, literally, his face. People would appear in the movie that, like, when Han came back, Vin Diesel was just angry, hugging him. I was like, yo, I need this. It's hyper for no reason. Michelle Rodriguez is probably tougher than everybody in the movie. We got Jordana Brewster in here fighting people now. The women are in the scenes talking about things that aren't men. It's black dudes in the scenes talking about black shit. I'm looking at like Han and the daughter in Tokyo. I'm like, we passed so many tests in this movie. Come on, man. I'm here for it all day, every day, Fast 20, 30. Put me in the jump. Come on, coach. Let me fly a plane. Let me be the jet pilot. They need a jet pilot. They need a jet dude. Like, let me be like, oh man, I was in the Air Force. Now I'm running shit. Like, let me all in there, baby. Maverick of the air.
Oh,
let's
that's
do
another
it.
Line, James. You know math. I know how to drive.
Every time, wait.
I literally out loud went, that's not how that works. It's 100% not how space works. You don't know how to drive a spacecraft.
Great.
He's in a car in space, though.
He's in a car in space.
Nothing I about that was supposed to work.
We didn't see no training montage or how they like figured out how to do any of that stuff. I was like, you know what? Come on, baby, we here.
I got up and went to the restroom at a point that seemed like, okay, I came back. They were in space. There was no like, wait a minute.
Listen, man.
It was as confusing as the trailer. They were just in space.
Listen, this movie is the epitome of everything we talk about. It's a bunch of people of color. We don't talk about race. Like, we got some who are super smart, some who are from the hood. We got like women being badass. We got like the one smart woman who's like super smart. Like, it, to me, I'm like, I'm like, this checks off so many boxes for me that I'm like, yo, I know it sounds dumb, but when you actually think about it, it does something a lot of franchises and movies, period, just don't do. I mean, yeah, it's mindless, but they're mad mindless movies. And I'm like, yo, bro, let's get it.
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, man, you know, I just had a job end, which, you know, I was very fortunate to have, but it's so funny how quickly stress starts to accumulate when you're not working.
It's too much. It's too much. It's heavy.
You know,
I got the shakes, and you know, the heart palpitations, all of it.
I agree. I will say I've had the benefit of not being unemployed this long since 2009. And what are we in April? Soon to be May. And I have not had a paycheck all of 2024. So this is the most stress I've ever had. My parents may need to get an aide. And I'm like, who's coming to save the day? So stress is high. Anxiety is high.
And, you know, sometimes to talk about this stress, therapy can be a safe space. Like, get that stuff off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down, you know, instead of just keeping it all bottled up and feeling like you have to hold everything inside. I know therapy has helped me. I almost look at it as like check-in. Like, sometimes I got a lot to say, sometimes not so much, but it's like, it is super, super helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate getting the tools to like kind of understand the mechanism of how I'm behaving, you know, and reacting in certain situations.
Yeah, I use BetterHelp, and Timothy, black male therapist, saves the day because he gets it, man. I'm like, you know what? Thank you, bro. For sometimes it's just 30 minutes of just me rambling, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even say hello yet. and he's like, keep going. I'm like, thank you. Yes.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible. It's suited to your schedule, which is absolutely essential these days. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you can get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you want, switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/jump today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/jump.
You gotta jump to get that BetterHelp. BetterHelp!
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartland!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Priceline presents, go to your happy price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with. When you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
Let's start this thing, baby, with the flashback. Oh, also, for those who don't know, so I think the cool thing about this movie, I think why I like it more than Fate, is that in the first Fast and Furious, when we meet Dom, you know, gets out of prison or whatever, and he tells Brian, rest in peace, Paul Walker, a story about how he beat a man within an inch of his life. And apparently now we see why he did it. It was the guy who he thinks killed his dad. That's the guy he beat damn near to death and went to jail. So we get to see it now. It took 10 movies, but we see it. So.
Oh, right. That's great. I was like, not having seen any of the other movies, I was like, they really never told us.
Never.
They really never told us this story before. Like I couldn't believe it. It felt like such a pivotal thing, and they had never done it in eight other movies. After this scene, it was so, I don't know, I loved everything that was happening. I loved the racing. I loved, the emotion of the scene. As soon as the scene ended, I leaned over to Kat and I said, "This is the best acting Vin Diesel has ever done." She was like, "That's not Vin Diesel." I was like, "Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's Dom. He's acting his ass off right now."
I'm gonna say the funny part is like the worst part of this movie was when, and this again, love the movies, but it's when people were trying to actually emote. And I was like, I don't come here for this. Like when Vin Diesel was talking to the kid or talking to Michelle Rodriguez, I was like, this is not why I watch these movies. I know y'all trying to give me heart, but bro, you're just, he's doing break. His bottom lip just dropping. He's like, I was like, yo, this dude is Sylvester Stallone.
Dude, but
like,
it was so funny. I laughed so hard. Every time he's with the kid, he's just like, oh. I was like, what emotion is he trying
love. Convey. That's love. He's emoting love.
Did y'all hear the recklessness this nigga said? He was like, the reason for the beef between him and The Rock is because he needed to pull, as a producer, he was trying to get The Rock there performance-wise. So he was trying to like pull it out of him. And I was like, you telling me, you think you act better than The Rock? Is that you're trying to pull acting out of The Rock?
That's what he said?
Nigga. As a producer, he had to get him there. And I'm like, you know, first of all, the only thing, there's been a lot of ridiculous things that happened in the Fast and Furious. We'll talk about the ones in this movie. The only thing I cannot stand for is him beating The Rock in that fight. I can't. It don't make sense.
He beats everybody. It doesn't make sense anytime he beats.
Did you see The Rock in that movie? The Rock was massive.
Gerard, that's Dom, okay? You can't be coming for Dom like this. Dom can do
Superman, dude.
I watched, what is it, one of those movies, The Rock picked up a cement table and started like, or bench, and started like curling it, okay? Dom ain't beating that dude. I was saying The Rock right now is the only person alive to have a superhero suit without padding, because he is that big. That's how big that man is. Dom ain't beating that dude.
There was one part in this movie when John Cena punches the wall and he breaks through the wall, and I was like, they really let this sneak through? Like, Vin, like
I saw that too.
It's weird because we don't see him be that strong truly ever again.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's my one thing with this movie, is that I just thought John Cena was, I liked the brother angle of it. I actually didn't mind it. I didn't mind them just literally creating a brother out of thin air that we've never seen for eight movies. And then all of a sudden, not only does he have a brother, but they have this like crazy past and like, you know, the flashback with essentially their father dying and, you know, and then Vin somehow figuring out while he's in jail that his brother was the one who must have done the hairline fracture, which is why the car blew up when it got hit off the road. But I just felt like John Cena as a villain, like, was like a couple steps down from so many of the villains that we've seen, right? Like, we had Charlize Theron, we had Jason Statham, we had Jason Statham's brother, who I kind of forget. And then We also Idris Elba and Hobbs and Shaw and The Rock, right? In Fast Five. And it was like, you want the villains to keep upping. And like the idea of a brother feels that way. But then in terms of his actual plans and like what he did, I was like, ah, he seemed kind of weak. And it felt like they were, it felt like because they were kind of stuck in this idea of like, well, he's John's, he's Dom's brother, but he, we also have to show that he's always living in the shadow of Dom. So he's like, he can't be that good. And then like his own crew disrespects him, you know, that kind of thing. And so because of that, I feel like we never got to see John Cena be that
badass. But also one thing is this, they keep, Hollywood has been forcing John Cena down our throats for decades. They've been trying to make him the dude. Yo, Hollywood will force a white person and be like, yo, this person ain't good, but you should like them. You can't get The Rock, you get John Cena. The person who this should have been my man Jason Momoa, okay? Jason would have came in that thing. Could you imagine the fight between Jason and Vin? First off,
wait, probably what be the hell? Also, he's much, he, I would believe Jason Momoa much more as Dom's brother than freaking...
Should have been Jason Momoa.
Why wasn't it Jason Momoa?
They trying to build to Jason Momoa. Jason Momoa's Fast 11. That's it.
I agree. I think they should really put him in there.
I guess I'm they do have to build to something. But still, you got to keep building each movie. You got, look, it's on them to figure out how to keep topping themselves, okay? They're the ones who decided to set this crazy path where we're like, they're like, we're going to make 12 movies and each one's going to be bigger than the next. And we're like, okay, we're with you, you know? But you got to do it. Like this movie, I think most people will agree that they liked this movie and that it met their expectations of it getting higher. That said, I think it barely passed the hurdle. I think it's like when somebody's jumping over a hurdle, but it's you still kind of hit it and it's like wobbling. It's like you didn't fall down. You didn't knock down the hurdle, but like you barely cleared that.
I give you that.
You know?
It's one of those things where like, I think you're actually, Brad, I think you're 100% right. I think it's like, yeah, you landed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a little wobbly. You didn't do the superhero 3-point land, but you know what I'm saying? You know, you did it.
Had they not gone to space, you know?
I like
they needed to go to space in this. Had they not gone to space, it would have been like, this is not
good. Yeah, because I remember in the trailer, they showed that big truck like flipping. And I was like, this is cool. But like, guys, in Fate, you were like outrunning a submarine on ice. Like I don't care about a big truck. Like guys, you went under in like the first movie you were going under, or was it two?
No, that's the first one. The first one they were going under the truck.
Yeah, I was like come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where like, now that they already have went to space, I don't know physically what you do. They gotta go to space.
They'll time travel. They'll time travel some. Like, they will. They're going to. Right? Like, the way you top...
You're right.
The
you're
way
right.
You top you space have the time is you travel. Time travel or something. Yeah. Like, it'll happen in one of the movies.
I was just looking at it like, just to get in there, after we get the flashback, and just to skip ahead, because, you know, Tyrese and what's her name? Her name isn't Cypher. What is Natalie's name in this?
That's a great
Roman question. Whatever. When they all run up on Michelle and Vin Diesel to get them back
Ramsey.
In the game.
Ramsey. Yeah, so.
First off, these names are cool as fuck. Roman, like,
because was it Toretto, Ramsey bad Ramsey? Or how did they link?
They hacker. Thought they were like, yeah, but they thought she was like, this movie did recycle a lot. They thought they were trying to go get like a computer or a programmer or something, but the thing they were searching for was actually her, because she was the key to whatever the hell it was in that particular episode.
Right.
Is it episodes? Yeah, episode, whatever we call these things.
Episodic saga. Yeah. Right. No. Yeah. The whole framing for this movie is that Mr. Nobody, played by Kurt Russell, his plane went down and he sent some cryptic message saying like, there's this doomsday device that got stolen. They need to go help and find him or whatever. And there's a rogue agent is what he said. And then the rogue agent winds up being Dom's brother, John Cena, who shows up perfectly timed. That's my favorite thing about these movies is the perfect timing of everything. And they did call this out. Tyrese did call out, like, he was like, he planned he planned a jet to catch him in the air. I was like, yeah. How did he plan that?
It was great. But you're right, though. We needed more stuff like that. We needed more stuff like that from him. Like, he didn't get to do that kind of stuff a lot. Yeah. Also, something very funny about this movie, too, is that I think it's one of the movies where, like, everyone plays a part and everyone's kind of up. Like, Ludacris was, like, just a tech dude, and he never drove. And now he's, like, in the field driving, getting in fights. Ludacris, like, it's something about, like, how this movie isn't built on celebrities.
Oh, I thought you were going to say logic.
Oh, no, Braylock. No, logic doesn't exist in this world. They recognize it doesn't exist in this world. Like, it doesn't exist. But it's something very fascinating. It's like, it's not based on celebrities, and it's not based on like a super famous IP. Like, the Fast franchise became the famous IP eventually, but it wasn't like, oh, it was this comic or this book that they finally made into a movie. So it's something very unique about it. And I'm not sure we're gonna see it again. Like, I don't know how you do this thing. I think this was like an accident. You know what I mean?
Like John Wick is a little bit, you know.
I don't know if that John Wick's been,
I don't know how long they can keep it going, but
he can't. Is it Keanu Reeves like 70 years old? He just a vampire. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's a vampire. He's like 70 years old. He can't keep doing Reeves this.
Like 70 years.
So. Yo, John, I looked up his age.
Keanu Reeves is 50.
He's in his 50s. Like, he ain't like 51 or 52. He's a vampire. Okay? Which is fine. We know they exist, so I'm cool with it.
I mean, 50, he's one. That old man, damn.
He is. How old is he? He like, let me see. Ain't nothing wrong with being a vampire, Bray. Right, I know you're trying to ignore that they're real, but they real, Bray. Okay? Let me look. How old is he?
56.
56? Actually, all of our superheroes are probably much in their late 40s, 50s. Anyway.
Yeah, they're around that age.
Yeah, everybody's kind of around that age. But no, but I think it's cool. Like, I did like, you know, once, but yeah, once they decide they have to go get the MacGuffin of this movie, and we run into,
what's
like,
what's the device called?
Come on, Bray.
The Ares.
The Ares, that's right. Something. Named after the god of war.
But whoever gets this is going to be the god of everything.
Yeah, I was like, guys,
he delivered it with passion, though. I'm here for it. Yo, wait. I just realized Gal Gadot was in a Fast movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they flashed back to her. What are you talking about? Yes, that's who it was.
She was Han's girlfriend. Yes. Dang, I forgot. I don't know why.
But she was like a part of like the Brazilian police or something, wasn't she?
Yes.
That's right. She was introduced in Fast 5, right?
I think she
was. And then she was in the 6, too. She was in Fast 5 and Fast 6. Fast 5 and Furious 6.
Wow, this is great. I'm here for it. I will say this, though. This movie, I want to talk about one of my favorite sequences. I did love, like, Michelle Rodriguez always, like, kind of shits on them for, like, leaving their women on the sidelines. So to me, watching this movie, she felt like the second lead of this movie. To me, like, she had a lot of good scenes.
For sure.
Literally, every mission, she was actually in it in her own car. I loved it when she had the dirt bike. And also when she got her fight scene in Tokyo. I was like, okay, Michelle, you know what I'm saying? I love she got her fight scene. I love that Jordana Brewster, who I feel like out of 10 movies has never been in the field.
No, this is the first time fighting.
Yeah, never. Like, she held her own, which makes sense. If you're going to be a Toretto.
She hasn't been in all of them either.
No. Because I think they didn't know what to do with her at first because she was like the little... I mean, this movie started as a knockoff.
The sister who fell in love with Paul Walker.
What's that movie when they were surfers with Rob Banks? It's the same movie with Keanu Reeves.
Point Break.
It's literally a Point Break ripoff. The movie ends the same. Every beat of the original is the exact same as Point Break. It's like Keanu Reeves lets Patrick Swayze like ride off in the distance instead of arresting him. Like, instead of the big bank chase, is like theirs is a doing it. The skydive out of the plane. It's literally the same movie. But guys, they've evolved. Right? They've evolved.
Yeah. I've also survived the death of a major character.
Well, great. Nope. Yeah.
True. I mean, the character is not dead. The actor is dead. The character is still alive, actually, as seen at the end of this movie. The character is still alive.
Let me tell you what's so crazy.
Oh, is that who that was?
I think it's supposed to be Brian. Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's what that was. They're like, there's still one more. There's still one more. And you think if you don't know the Fast and Furious franchise, you would think it's John Cena, but it's not John Cena. It's Paul Walker.
Yeah, but Brian, because Brian always has the blue like souped up car that he thinks is super fast, but it's like it's not. Mm-hmm. Did you guys stay for the after credits?
No.
Oh, was there actually an after credits?
Come on, baby, just Fast and the Furious, niggas.
No,
come on,
I didn't. I didn't know that. No.
What does that mean?
Come on, I didn't know that they did after credits.
That literally after credits is how like people come back. Like they had the only person who hasn't come back yet, and I think it's because she doesn't act as Eva Mendes, but she was in a post credit scene in Fast Five. But in this one, they have Jason Statham. He's punching a punching bag.
I saw that. Sorry, you saw that.
But it was after like a couple minutes.
Mid credits.
But like, you know, now him and Han gonna have a thing because you know he tried to murk Han, but Han ain't dead, bruh.
Right.
So what goes down? We don't know. I will say, I loved Han's daughter in this. I know she didn't talk that much, but it's like, Bray, I think you're right. There's going to be a spinoff or a prequel to this after this 12th movie. Like, I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm like, they have enough younger people.
The only thing that I saw that was in development is like a ladies movie.
Oh.
Will they get Gal Gadot back, you think?
I hope it's everybody.
My thing is,
I hope Cardi B's in.
Listen,
don't you say
yeah,
that.
Cardi B. Yeah,
don't you say that.
We need to talk about Cardi B. Cardi B was in the
second she showed so up. Mad. I was like, it's going to be about her.
Tessa was like, so is she mad in these movies? And I was like, she is now.
But they don't do that. Like that. Like to me, that's almost jumping a shark. Like the thing about them is they don't have, unless the person is like a real actor from way back when, they don't do like the musical celebrity TikToker Instagrammer cameos in these movies. So when she was
except
there,
for Tyrese and Ludacris.
No, but they were like Tyrese at that point was an actor, so was Luda. You know what I'm saying? Like they were like, I mean, the musician actor. Like you ain't gonna
I know what you mean. They were in other movies.
Like Cardi
B was in
not for that long.
Oh, yeah, Cardi B was in Hustlers.
Hustlers.
Honestly, I forgot.
Hustler is a different thing.
Hustlers.
Cardi B actually may have been in, I don't know. But
you know,
Hustlers.
You're right. No, you're
she's
right.
Probably
you're right.
In one other movie too.
You're right.
I bet.
You're right.
She was definitely in Hustlers and she was a character in that.
You're right. Yeah, it's probably gonna be about her. No, it can't be a movie about Cardi B.
She was like, I got a whole team. I was like, oh shit. That's a franchise.
She's like, this is my whole
that
crew. This
one,
all
that
me.
One scene was a franchise.
God. I mean, they did a female's version. I think it'd be good. Yeah, I think Michelle Rodriguez could lead a movie. She could lead the team. Yeah, she could lead the team, yo. It could be badass. It could be like what's that movie that's coming out? Gunpowder Milkshake. Can't wait for that.
I still haven't seen the trailer for that.
She was the one who kind of led the team for Fate, right? Like she mm-hmm. had to be. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've been making
because they were first in Dom.
I liked John Cena. I like John Cena. Just in general, and I liked him in
as an action hero. You like him?
This
as an action, hero, you like him, or you just like him when he shows up and does comedy?
What's
bits?
The movie? What's the movie with the Bumblebee? Bumblebee.
You Bumblebee was Bumblebee? A good movie. But I don't know if he was like Haley Steinfeld.
You named the movie, but you didn't tell me if you liked him in Bumblebee.
That's it, Bumblebee. That's my only point.
Listen, I know he's been in action movies.
Let me look up John Cena. He had a good year.
Oh, is he going to be in this new
Suicide Squad? Yeah, and he got a TV Squad? Show.
I'm excited for that. Peacemaker, about to be Peacemaker. I don't know, and he also plays. He played this recurring character in Psych that was supposed to be like this badass, but it was, you know, funny because it's
I like him in comedies.
Show.
I thought he was funny in Blockers.
He was good in Blockers. Mm-hmm.
He was in wasn't he in like
Trainwreck?
Like a scene in Trainwreck. Yeah. Like yeah, he I think he's serviceable in comedies. As an action hero, he's just such a weird looking dude.
The sweet spot about to be Suicide Squad. That's about to be the sweet spot.
Oh yeah, he having a moment. He's just a wall. He's a wall. He's like, when I see him, I'm like, you are a brick walking. You know what I mean?
His face is just so like, it's just a funny face to me.
No, man, but I will say this.
Which is why I actually am I'm excited to see him in Suicide Squad, because I feel like it's a nice blend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's not supposed to look cool. He's supposed to look kind of silly. But when he's supposed to look cool, when he's supposed to show up and I'm supposed to be intimidated, I'm like, even though he's huge, I'm still like, I'm not intimidated. I'm just kind of like, what is this?
Yeah, you see his muscles in this? There was one part of this movie when he shakes hands with Vin Diesel. Yes. And I was like, man, they let them do this in Profile so we could see. I was like, Vin let a lot of stuff sneak through with John Cena. I guess he didn't feel threatened by John Cena.
The reason is because John Cena doesn't have charisma. He doesn't have the like, man, I want to be like that guy. Like that guy looks cool. You know what I mean?
There was one part where they just shake hands. And you see that John Cena's arm is twice the size of Vin Diesel's arm. And it's just like, wow. If I'm supposed to be Vin Diesel and I'm that dude in this movie, I would have had them do it from a different angle. I would have had it be on me. You know what I mean? Something.
But they were redoing the, you know, what is the Predator, Arnold, and
it wasn't even close.
I mean, because remember that handshake when it's like you've been pushing a bunch of pencils.
Right?
Carl Weathers, yeah. Bunch of pencils. That
wasn't close.
I mean, I'm going to say this, though. I think Bray is right that like John Cena didn't get the villain stuff, but I honestly don't think he was supposed to. I think this whole movie.
No, I don't. I agree.
We're like, supposed to. He's going to team up with them. So in Fast 11 and Fast 12, he can be a part of the team, or like he's going to. My theory is this. This is what I would do if I was them. My theory is this. Is John Cena now has a bunch of people looking like coming after him. They're gonna pull a Captain America.
Makes no sense. Well, listen, why does John Cena have a bunch of people coming after
him?
They all just did a crazy amount of illegal things and killed many people during this film.
But listen, but then they got the government, they got the American government low-key on their side. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how they got out. John Cena don't. So my theory is John Cena is pissed off a lot of people.
They were in London. Why don't they have the London government coming after them?
Come on, man. No. Because they got Helen Mirren and she's like, you know, forging paperwork for them. So they good. Right, you know what I'm saying? But I think that dude who got killed, his dad, is going to be like somebody important. You know, I can't think of a famous white actor yet, but it's going to be somebody famous, old and white. He's going to have a number two.
Well, yeah, that makes sense because they built him up.
It could be Kenneth Branagh. It could be
any of them people. Just pick one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they're not the point. The point is, he's going to have a squad, and the head of his squad is going to be Jason Momoa. Okay. It's going to be Jason. We're going to get like, probably, what's her name? The woman from, here it is. It's not going to be a dude. It's going to be the woman from Game of Thrones. What's the Bray? You watch it. Heather, Henley, what's her name? She was the mom. No, the other one.
She's Lena Headley. One.
Yeah, it's gonna be Lena Headley. She's like, yo, someone killed my son. I need vengeance. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry.
She gonna come out. She gonna team up with Charlize. They gonna be badasses. They gonna throw in Jason Momoa. Now they all getting hunted. Okay, it's gonna be like you ain't worrying about. And they move back to their old house. Well, I mean,
Charlize Theron is gonna be. It has to be the villain still, but she'll team up with somebody. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. And they know where they live because they're not hiding no more. Michelle, like, we not hiding no more. Build our old house back in the hood. We going. All right. They're going to just roll up on them, blow that joint up.
You know, one of these things, it's going to be like, have they talked about the Toretto's mom yet?
Never. Never.
So she's got to come. She's got to come.
They never talked about the dad. They never talked about the dad until this movie.
Yeah, no, the mom is 11. Bring her up in 11. She just shows up.
Okay. I will be so pissed if they bring the dad back to life because that dude is dead. No, you can't fake that death. Also, my favorite part of this film is, and this goes to Gerard saying like they don't even bother trying to explain stuff. when they kept asking Han like what happened, and he's like talking about all these different things, and then Tyrese is like, yeah, but your car blew up, man. Like, you're dead. And he goes, He goes, yeah, well, I had a little help from Mr. Nobody. And then we see Mr. Nobody. We see Han in this burning car. And then all of a sudden, the camera moves. And he's not in it. And then he's over on the side looking at it with Mr. Nobody. And then Mr. Nobody. And then he goes to Mr. Nobody. Well, that was a nice magic trick. And I was like, that's all you're going to say? You're not going to explain it. You're just going to go, that was a nice magic trick. And then Mr. Nobody goes, I've pulled off better. And you're like, all right.
But what did he pull off? Was it like there's no explanation.
It's just, it was a magic
hologram
trick. Yeah, like what? He was in the car.
Like his face was bleeding. So you made a hologram bleed? Or did he somehow get... Because the thing is about that scene that's so weird is that if you watch it in real time, the car blows up with Jason Statham in front of it. So it's not like we don't... It's not like we don't see when he can sneak out, because the thing is like Jason Statham is on the phone while we see Han and we see the car, in the car right behind him. Yeah. Right, this is what I'm here for.
I mean, this isn't the same thing, but Bad Trip, a car flips over. There's a stunt driver in it. Stunt driver gets out and the actors come in and get... They figured out a way to do that.
Good point.
If they can do that... Then Mr. Nobody can make somebody disappear before your very
All I know is they better bring The Rock back, because Braylock, I'm with you. I missed him. Like, you know what it is? It's like you forget, like, The Rock's charisma goes such a long way, dude. Like, his charisma and just his presence, like his stature. Like, I wanted him to appear at the dinner scene at the end because I was like, he has jokes. Like, I really did miss him in this movie, and I think he will come back.
I think one of the reasons I like Tyrese even more in this film is because The Rock wasn't there, and we had a pretty obvious lack of like on-screen talent. Like, no offense to all these other people, they all serve their roles well, and it's fun. But like, Ludacris is not he's not doing this right. Like, he can't. He's delivering a lot of exposition. They have a little rapport, him and Tyrese, but it's not enough to like be that sustaining. Michelle Rodriguez is great, but she's more of like, I don't know, like the grit and stuff. Like, she's cooler in the action sequences, but off the action sequences, I'm like, okay. And then, you know, Natalie, she was good, but like, again, I was just like, I need And because John Cena was it, I was like, I felt like there were not enough engaging people on camera for me in this film, which maybe is exactly how Vin likes it. But for me, I was like, yeah, I don't know, that I had to rely a lot on the action more so than like, I don't know. There wasn't as much fun, like freaking The Rock and Jason Statham going at each other and like, in Fate, or like, you know, I don't know, there's just a lot more in some of these other movies. And now that Paul Walker is not there, I just feel like you gotta keep on beefing up this crew.
Well, because you need, like, I think Paul Walker, to your point, Bray, is the heart of the movie. Like, he was like the emotional core, because at the end of the day, it's like, that's the guy you didn't want anything bad to happen, because he had the family, because he had all this stuff. And now you don't have him. And Vin Diesel is a very strong presence, but he isn't charismatic, which is what The Rock served. It was like The Rock gave you like the energy boost and he felt credible. You know what I mean? I think that's my hard time sometimes, where like Luda is very fun. And Tyrese, I mean, is very, very fun. He delivers those jokes, but like, I don't know if you guys watched Dragon Ball Z, but like, I read this one review and it was like, Ludacris is the Krillin of Fast and the Furious, meaning like, he's always there, he's always supportive. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll get beat up, he'll survive it somehow, but like, he's not the hero of your story, or even like the second bad, like, you know, he's not that guy. So it's like, there's no one else. Which, even without Jason Statham, you lose so much in this movie to me. Like, Jason Statham, his scene in Fate when he's carrying the baby while like shooting people and the baby's listening to the Chipmunks and Fate of the Furious was one of my favorite scenes of that whole movie, man. He's on a plane just like murking people, you know? And we don't have any of those moments. And I think, like, I don't know. Hopefully in the next two, they just go balls to the wall. Bring Michelle, bring Eva Mendez back, bring everybody back, baby.
I also feel like they just need somebody to come in and do like a a comedy pass on the movies, because it's like these movies are fun, or have somebody on set that can that can pitch jokes, because these movies are, this one in particular,
you don't think they did that?
So if they did, then they need somebody that can help with buttons, because just a lot of scenes had like things that were like right there, you know, and like had, they just had one more, like either somebody calling out the thing or like, or really closing the button to whatever that, like probably at this point, like couplet or even triplet is, but because it just seemed like there were just a few times where it would be like, this is the thing that's supposed to be funny, but it wasn't a joke, you know, or it wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't.
They had, they had when he was like, Dom Toretto sent us. And then they're like, oh. And then the one dude was like, who's Dom Toretto?
Who's Dom? That's, I think, the best example of what I need more of, you know, because like, it was like, because people were already laughing at them reacting like they know Dom. Like,
yeah, because it was hilarious. Yeah, and
then who's Dom tied it up, you know, it was like, great, good. That's a nice button. But then there were a few others where it was like, I don't know. Some of the Tyrese Ludacris back and forth. It's like, oh, it's just missing like one more ingredient to a bunch of their jokes. You know, they just didn't feel as full.
I did like that. Who? Also, that actor is great. You should watch Warrior, everyone. It's on HBO Max. It's getting to season 3. It's awesome. It is what Bruce Lee actually wanted. So that's why I support it.
Oh, every time, I was going to say this earlier, every time they cut to them in space, even before they said anything, my entire audience laughed. Every
same.
Single time. It was just so funny that they were in space and you would like go away from it and forget that they were there. And
then it would
cut back to them in a Pontiac, in an old...
Look like Back to the Future.
That was so funny.
Also, the thing about it is, I thought this movie was going to do something. I thought this movie was going to do something I thought was very ballsy. I thought they were about to kill Ludacris and Tyrese. Because I was like, oh.
I thought so too. Go ahead.
I thought it was like, oh, you know what this movie needs going into this finale? And yes, Bray, it's going to be a finale, okay? The next two are the end of the road. So it's going to be big. I thought they were going like, because this is my thing. They had to drive through a satellite, but they're in a Pontiac, so I'm like, okay, the glass is going to break on the window. It's like, this is the end, and it's going to be like this big emotional moment, because they had, you know, the slowed down version of everyone struggling behind them, and like there was no music, and I was like, oh great, this is a dope, we put stakes in the movie. And then when they were fine, I was like, oh well,
yeah, I didn't because think what, they were gonna
because they couldn't kill them. Like, I was at first, I was like, oh, they could at first. When Tyrese was making such a big deal out of like, we can't die, and Ludacris was like shitting on its on that POV so much, like it seemed like they could set it up to do that. But then when they ended up in space, it just seemed like to kill them up there would have been such a like, these are not the right ingredients to kill. Like having them blow up in space. And no one knows that they even did this space mission. It's like, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I wonder what you guys felt like. For me, even though all of these movies, you kind of know that the good guys are going to win in the end, I feel like the last three, even four of these films had way more actual tension in like, I don't know, are they going to be able to do this? Because... especially with like Jason Statham and Charlize Theron's, like those bad guys, like there were moments in which they were very clearly like had the upper hand, you know, in a real way that you were like, oh my God, like this is bad for them. This movie that literally never happened. And the only two times they had the upper hand was one when Dom just, for whatever reason, decides to just go to the thing and then it gets arrested by Interpol. which was like, all right, like, that's, who cares about that? And then when they actually trap them and then they decide to just leave them and don't kill them,
I was like, weird.
It was like truly an Austin Powers moment of like, you literally are going to just walk away and then kill them? Like, what? Why? Yeah. Like, what? Like, there was no explanation for it. Like, they didn't explain at all why they didn't just shoot them all just there. They were just like, all right, we have you trapped. And then Dom's like, I'm going to catch up to you and stop you. And he's like, haha, I'm going to leave now. Like, what?
That makes no sense.
You're not even gonna watch them be put into handcuffs? Like, you guys literally. And then I loved how after that whole sequence in that underground lair, they just come back to the same place. Like,
I don't understand that part. Wait,
what? Didn't something just collapse? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, I don't understand. What was Dom doing? Like, why was he fighting?
Why did he lock himself? It made no sense. There was nothing about that entire sequence that made any sense. And he also pulled down some sort of concrete barrier like he was Samson.
I was like, what is happening? That's the one sequence I didn't get. But I think you're right, Bray. I think the problem is this feels like Iron Man 2. Like, this feels like the in-between for the next movie. It's like, this movie was just to get John Cena on the team.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's, it was so clear that was going to happen the whole movie. You're like, I mean, obviously it's going to be 100%
going to join. My thing is, it would have been different if Cypher and the other dude would have been the bad guy the whole time, and he would have been like caught up in it and been like, yo, when you left me, this is all I could do. So like, I don't want to be, you know what I'm saying? And they had to get him out. But to me, that's what 11 is going to be about. It's going to be more like personal, you know, maybe the mom got resentment, you know, who knows? I feel like it's going to be, Make it Die Hard 3. You know what I'm saying? Make it Die Hard with a vengeance. Have somebody come back and be like, y'all screwed over my family, I got you. You know, make it that thing. Anyway, but they've already done that with Decker Shaw anyway. So this movie's been around too long, man. Anyway, I'm talking to Hollywood. Keep making Fast and the Furious movies, okay? That's all I know that I got for you. Make it so that, you know, Black Man Can't Jump can get in it. Like, they're going to need some new techies. Listen, guys, here's my pitch. All right. You know, Ludacris and them got in it because they were like the new team that Tyrese had. Bow Wow was a Tokyo Drift team. Maybe they go to like Florida or like a New York, and they need a team that can come through and get them through the city of New York. And it's like, oh, bruh, you know, we was racing cars, but then also we got into the plane business. So it's like, we got fighter jets, right? You know what I'm saying? We got fighter jets. And they're like, yo, we don't know how to fly a fighter jet. And it's like, yo, but we do. So now us and Jason Statham, because he can drive a fighter jet. Now we got to zip off somewhere. Okay. We got to go to Africa because they can't really go in Africa like that. You know what I'm saying? We got to go to South Africa, to Johannesburg. Okay. They'll get somebody else. Maybe that person is Mahershala Ali. You know what I'm saying? Because Mahershala is like this big, big dude who's like, you know, sending us after them. But we don't want to go against it. Come on, guys. We could do this. Come on. Put us in the game, baby. Because we ain't got to be famous to get in the Fast and Furious movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, just put us in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to think about, like, if they were to, like, introduce fighter jets into this. Like, have y'all seen Red Tails?
Oh, damn.
Like, have y'all seen Red Tails?
I'm sorry,
like, if they introduce fighter jets into this, it could like, with Red Tails.
Yeah.
Is that movie? I feel like that movie was good. Have y'all seen that?
It was all right. I mean,
we saw it with you. You remember that, Tails? Right?
We did it on the podcast a few weeks ago.
Just, like, is it good? Because it's, like, about... historical black figures.
I'm sorry. I set him up for this.
I mean, it was a pretty smooth transition, I will say.
Damn, but I didn't see that coming. That's my fault, man. I'm so sorry. I feel so disrespected.
It actually made sense.
Okay, well, that's what I was thinking about. I don't know. I don't know. I'll keep thinking on it.
Is there anything else about this movie that we need to talk about? I forgot. I don't know.
I mean,
Charlize Theron is still alive.
First off, they arrested her and it was sent to jail.
The end of this film where the amount of truly impossible things Dom does with his car includes driving it off, just kicking
you mean the cliff,
like kicking when some post tire off. Yeah, and then it linking into the tire and that somehow swinging it around and then releasing so that he could get back onto the road. They also had a car that drove on a bridge that was collapsing. And then that car drove up the bridge onto the road. That was probably the best part. I was like, I love it. They're just like immediately. And then the other thing about that is after they defied physics like that, then at the end of the movie, when they're in space, he's like, it's math, it's physics. And I was like, don't say that. You've been defying physics this whole movie. You're not allowed to go, it's math, it's physics.
Do you remember when at the end, Dom is like running and he's on that big bus thing and it's falling? He takes two bombs, throws it in front of him, but then it makes the truck trailer thing start flipping and it lands on his wheels and he drives it, is on a cliff. Charlize comes, somehow he spins, he like turns it so that the back of it hits her jetter, her fighter jet, while he jumps out the car at the same time. I was like, yo.
I literally was like, how is he? This car's been hit by like three missiles. How is he doing anything? I don't understand.
I love it. And she had the Wakanda. She had the Wakanda set up. Yeah. She was driving the Wakanda. Also, she said they took her mid-flight when they were taking her to prison. But yet she was dressed like she was going to the club. I was like, so they was taking her to prison in red leather pants? I was like,
yeah, maybe.
I was like, this is really the rich people jail.
Put her in a glass box.
Like, this is the rich people jail right there.
With lasers.
Like, shit. If that would have been Tyrese, they better let him keep his Jordans on at least or something.
Oh, my God.
God damn.
Yeah, the amount of impossible things was truly... That was the best. The bridge driving... The bridge falling and it literally Looney Tunesing it. Just being like, yeah, the bridges fall, but your wheels are on the bridge. You keep driving up there.
I will say though, it was creative. I like the magnets. I like the whole magnet thing. I was like, this is magnets, interesting.
Yeah.
The magnet
interesting,
was cool.
Even though I was like, what?
Plausibility didn't make sense.
Couldn't right? understand why the magnets somehow was always just perfectly getting the right amount of objects to fly at them, but never hit the car that the actual with the magnet.
Except for once. And it only did it was when Natalie was driving and she did the magnet and somehow the only thing
catch it, John Cena. Yeah.
And that was the only thing it got. The only thing it got was John Cena. And I was like, wait, what? What's happening?
The selectivity of these magnets was
guys.
And then also the landmines where they, you know, they said if you drive 80 miles per hour and then they, yes. None of them were driving. I was also like, we were also like, okay, yeah, 80 miles an hour. Even if I'm accepting this premise, that only works for the first car. Why? Every other car behind it would blow up, including yours. Like your team is not driving in a straight line, horizontal line.
Bray, we don't worry about logic in a fast world.
They are immortal, though. That's the thing.
They have to, you know what? It has to go to water and air.
They're invincible.
That's next. It's going to be jet skis. It's going to be boats on the water. And it's going to be planes. That's it. What else?
Driving on the water. Yeah.
Time travel and parallel dimensions. And
They can't.
You're right. They do have to go under. They go under the ocean. That's what it is.
They got to do
driving
something.
On the ocean surface.
I watched this thing on YouTube because, yes, I am a YouTube fanatic. This thing called Top 5. And they have...
I watched this thing on YouTube. Yes, I'm a YouTube fanatic.
I feel like I mentioned YouTube a lot and it's embarrassing because people be talking about like all the great shows they watch. And I'm like, yeah, man, I was watching YouTube the other day.
But, everybody watches YouTube.
That's all I watch. Like, I gave up on TV. All I watch is YouTube. Okay. But this thing, Top 5, right? So it's like a listicle video that tells you about the top five. It could be anything, but it's like this thing of like bridges you didn't know. And there's like a famous underwater bridge, I think somewhere in Asia. And I'm like, yo, if they drove through this bridge, I mean, I don't know how they would do it because it feels very unsafe to even film in it. But it's like if they drove under this bridge type thing that's like so far beneath the water, it's like, okay, you know, we could up it and then maybe their car is like, half water, half land, you know, a situation. They can make it better. It's going to be great. The Rock will be back. You know, it'll be great.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
It's time for The Cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading Black actors, actors of color in Hollywood. So,
yeah, Bray, not based on if you like it.
Yeah, exactly. More cause, more leading actors of color in Hollywood.
Not if you like it, Bray.
If we think it fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist.
Not if it's logical.
Somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If we think it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. All right. Count of three.
I just want to say one more time. It's not based on if we like it or if logic makes sense. Or if logic makes any sense. Because that's not what we're basing it on.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Three, two, one.
I knew it. I felt it.
It's two black fists and a white palm. That feels fair.
No, it doesn't. Explain yourself.
Fair for a movie. Well, you know, it feels fair for a movie that stars two white actors.
First of all,
you got John Cena and Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel? No.
Yo.
No. I'm sorry. He made John Cena his brother. Okay. He could have had somebody much darker than him if they're going to go this mixed blood route. No, he did it to John Cena. He was like, I'm going to take John Cena and he's going to be my brother. Okay. I didn't do that. Vin did it.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I thought about giving it a palm for this exact reason that you're currently describing. I did. I thought about giving it a palm because it was like, okay, if they're doubling down and being like, he's white in this, because we've had these discussions before,
but we don't know
specifically about like Vin Diesel or like sometimes Keanu Reeves, you know, where it's like we're not addressing race, but also maybe the implication is that they're white, you know, and it's like okay, well then I don't know, they, you know, The Rock in San Andreas, you know, it's like I don't know how I feel about this, you know. So I thought about doing it, but I was like, nah, I can't. This movie's too multicultural. And, you know, Vin is mixed race.
We don't know.
Are these people going to lead movies? Because Tyrese and Ludacris have been in here for a minute.
I know. It's a shame that Tyrese isn't Jon Stewart. He had that whole campaign. Whole internet campaign.
Yeah, I think we're okay.
I know you do, but there are people out there that like Tyrese. Is she gonna lead movies?
I think Natalie will be good because Natalie's still young.
She's been in Game of Thrones. She was already in at least one of these movies.
Ludacris is still, he's producing TV. I don't know if he's in TV, but I know he's producing.
I know that.
I think Michelle is gonna get like another chance at an action movie. I think she's gonna get like
she's been in these movies too. Well, come on. It's also crazy how
iconic her role in which one? Which movie
Lost?
Is it?
Oh.
It's like so many things.
No, but this is my thing about, I'll say about Michelle, because I think you're right, but she had a chance. But I also think like when I think of the actresses who were in action movies earlier on.
Michelle was in the first one, wasn't she?
She was, but the problem is, earlier on when she first started, if you were going to be a woman in one of those action movies, a lot of times it was the love interest who could fight. Like Zoe Saldana movies, she was fighting, but it was also a love thing. Michelle never wanted to do that shit. And now I think because of women like Charlize Theron and like just the evolution of the world, she doesn't need that. And I think, but that just happened within like the last 4 or 5 years. So I'm like,
I know, but I think time has passed her by for that.
But she looked good fighting in this one. I think.
I agree. I think Hollywood should do it, but I don't think Hollywood is going to.
I mean,
they're gonna just get a younger.
But she could play the big. My thing is, she could play like the big bad in it because she's been around long enough that she could play like. If you did get someone younger, it's like the person you got to go against is this badass Michelle Rodriguez. Like, I think if Black Widow does well, if Gunpowder Milkshake does well, I do think we may see a new era of like women in action movies. And I think Michelle could be the person. Like,
man, women have been in action. Why does Black Widow need to do well for that to happen?
Because we haven't, like, how many, like, outside of like how many like bare knuckle, like, action movies have we seen like with all female cast? Like,
Black Widow going to be an all female cast?
But it's her and the main three are women. It's like, it's Scarlett, Florence, and Rachel Weisz. And then Gunpowder is all women. So I'm just saying, like, we see these movies with a bunch of dudes in it, whereas like, and yeah, a lot of times if I look at like Zoe Saldana, who is usually the woman who gets to fight, it's like, hopefully I think we may have a chance to see more. And I think Michelle, she may not be the lead, but she could be the second lead in them, you know, and be the badass. Cause she looked good fighting in this. She was like, the fight's great. Good.
I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not because she shouldn't, just because I don't see it happening. I think Michelle Rodriguez, for whatever reason, Hollywood did not do her justice.
I don't think she wanted to be somebody's girlfriend, or I can't. No,
fault too. Yeah. Why she shouldn't have to be somebody's girlfriend. Yeah. Was she in SWAT?
She was, but she was just like one of the people. Like, she was SWAT. I think she fought the fight. So people,
she did. Don't I have mean, to she's proved. She's proven it. It's just like they're, you know.
Yeah.
Don't worry,
Michelle. We'll put you in a movie. I think she could fuck up a couple dudes too. I'm like, yo, after watching Atomic Blonde and seeing Charlize, it's like, yo, I would love to see her. Anyway, whatever. I gave it a fist because these movies are awesome. All right. I'm gonna watch them until they put me in them, and then I'm gonna be 60 in these Jones. I'm gonna be 60, not even running fast no more.
Who died and came back.
Just hold me up. Hold me up and just prop me on the side. That's how long I'm trying to be in these movies.
I just think they could introduce new actors of color and get them. I don't know, but they have been slowly but surely.
Like, we have what's her name? The daughter. I looked her up. We have Ramsey. We have.
Oh, that's right. That's true. The daughter. Yeah. You know.
So they do it little by little.
It's tough. Yeah, maybe if she's in some of these future films, that'll be cool. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We got links to merchandise. We got like things that's via TeePublic, t-shirts. Is Hancock a good movie?
Great
phone cases.
It's really great.
Things like that. We have a defunct Patreon. No new episodes, but a year's worth of episodes. If you haven't subscribed to that yet, do that. Listen to the episodes and then unsubscribe if you want. And then what else do we got? You can follow me at John Braylock.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD.
You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
Well, if you rate and review us at iTunes, we will give you, if you give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. This one is by Soul Music Lover, best movie review podcast. I am so late to this podcast, decided to start with the first episode and fell in love. It's hilarious and often sobering look at movies with Black leads and how the films led and sometimes didn't lead to greater career opportunities for great actors. Listen every day and love every minute. Please review The Inkwell, A Soldier's Story, Disappearing Acts, and The Learning Tree.
All right. Wait, The Learning Tree is a movie?
All right. Well, we'll add those to our Letterboxd list, because you can go to Letterboxd. We have a list. Black Men Can't Jump, or Black Men Podcast. I forgot what our thing is. We will see you next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!